This is Aaron and Ash. You're listening to Path into Product, a show for students and professionals considering product management as a career. We interview actual product professionals and share their insights and tips for getting into the rewarding career that is product management. Welcome back to Path into Product. We're here with Robert Drury, who is a product manager at Watchfinder and founder of Getting Started in Product. Welcome, Robert. We're glad to have you.
Great to be here, Aaron.
So, Robert, we'd like to start out with asking you what your definition of product management is.
So, lots of people, when you look at the how they define product management, they talk about how it is for those product managers to define, to determine value for customers, and they focus on the customer. But the customer isn't our boss. Businesses are our boss. So I like to think of it as what we do as product managers is work with the business in order to improve business performance. Now, you could argue that everybody in a business does that, but as a product person, it does involve talking to customers and delivering more values to customers, because in reality, that's likely to result in increased revenues or whatever. But it's also about understanding how the business operates and what is the most important thing for the business today and tomorrow and in 3 months' time. And sometimes that actually isn't around delivering something for a customer. It might be delivering something because there's a legal compliance issue. There's a slightly different thing to an end customer. So it, to me, it's around understanding the business and making the business perform better.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think, you know, most people say to be hyper-focused on the customer, and that's what helps the business. And so how do you reconcile when the needs of the customer and the needs of the business may seem at odds with each other? How do you reconcile that?
That is the daily challenge of product managers around the world, these competing things. And there are some ways that you can do it. There are frameworks that you can do to determine these things. But sometimes it is just as simple as, well, legally we have to do this. And the customer is asking for that. Well, there is no choice. We just have to do this stuff. And as much as sometimes people like to say that product managers are the CEO of the product, your business has a CEO, and that CEO is responsible for the business. And sometimes what they say goes, and you do have to sometimes just give in and go with their choice. But our role as product people is to put forward the different perspectives and determine actually what is going to deliver the most value to the business. And that can be, we work out financially, this thing we think will return X and that thing will return Y. And sometimes that resorting to logic works and sometimes it doesn't. And you end up having to build something else.
Yeah, I love how you say that. It's sort of a mixed bag that you just sometimes you just have requirements from the business and there's no getting around it. A compliance thing is, you know, something like that. And other times you can bring some more options, some more perspectives to the table, right? And make it a little bit more flavorful, if you will, and sort of guide the business through that decision-making process, right? And that's one of the beautiful things that I think about product management is there's so many frameworks, so many principles, and not everything applies 100% of the time. And I think the wisest PMs are those who learn what framework or what principle to apply in a given context or in a given situation. Yeah, so that's beautifully said. Thank you. So let's dig in a little bit to your path into product. So rewind a little bit. Tell us your career story. What led you to product management?
Yeah, so it goes a long way back. So kind of software and software development is probably my third different career. So I started out in professional sports, but got injured, had to finish that. And then for a while, randomly, I was a cinema manager, so running multiplex cinemas. And it got to the point where actually the life of a cinema manager is actually quite antisocial because you're working evenings and weekends and things like that. And it sometimes doesn't match with the lifestyle that you want to do. So I had enough of that. And this was maybe 20 or so years ago. And in the earlier days of kind of CV databases and kind of online recruitment sites and things like that, I put my CV on a CV database online, and the company that ran the CV database phoned me up and said, "Do you want to come and work for us?" And I was like, "Well, it's not being a cinema manager, so that's a bonus." And to start with, they had me in sales, so I was doing like telephone sales for recruitment advertising, and I hate doing sales. It's just not me picking up the phone and doing those things. Mm-hmm. So I quickly moved across from that into recruitment consultancy. So it's a little bit salesy, but it's more about people and understanding people and matching kind of needs of businesses with people. And I enjoyed the people side of that, but again, still a bit too salesy. And what the company did was they had the bit of software that I put my CV onto, this CV database. They effectively sold that to big corporate organizations so that the big corporates could run their own online recruitment. So they could post adverts on their websites, they could get people to fill in online forms, and they had an entire application tracking system behind it. And I said, well, I can talk to these people because I understand the technology a bit. And I went into effectively a business development role for them. So going and talking to corporate clients, finding out what their needs were within their business, and bringing those needs back into our business and speaking to the IT team saying, right, can we make our application tracking system do these things? So although my job was really business development, because we'd then say, okay, Mr. Corporate Client, you can pay us £50,000 and we'll go and make that change for you. In reality, that's product management there and then. It is going and talking to a client, understanding needs, converting those needs into something that can then be delivered by a team. And that's when I started really enjoying the kind of interactions and the understandings between the different teams and how all the different elements fitted together. It wasn't until about three or four jobs later that I actually had the word product in my job title. But in reality, throughout all of those jobs, I was doing the same thing, talking to clients, understanding needs, converting those into things that could allow for the product to be adapted. So I probably did those kind of roles for maybe 10 or 12 years. And then I finally got a role with the word product in the job title. And that came about because somebody who I'd previously worked with was starting a company and he needed to build a product team. And he said, oh, do you fancy meeting for a coffee? Met him for a coffee. He said, do you want to come in and head up my product team, build a team? So, because we've got this idea for a product. So I joined, and my first product job was actually as a head of product. Straight to the top. I mean, I put in a lot of years doing product related things.
Right.
I joined this startup as employee number two, hired a team. Within a few months, we'd built the first iteration of the product. Within a year, we'd gone international. And then in 4 years, we sold the company on and moved into something else. So then I've been moving around in product-related roles ever since.
Wow. So you sort of had this eclectic career where you kind of bounced around to different roles and then sort of just started talking to customers and kind of created a product role for yourself until you were able to have that official title. And we've heard this story many times before of people who started doing product management type things before they even knew that it was a role or that it was a career. So how did you learn that product management was an official career. What was, how did you go about learning that?
Yeah, I suppose it wasn't really until I had that first job as a head of product in reality. Before that, I was helping people get stuff done. I didn't research product. I learned most of my skills on the job by getting stuck in, talking to people, being faced with challenges and needing to find solutions. And only really then, yeah, when somebody said, well, Rob, you've been doing all of these roles and that's what we need from our product team, why don't you come in and do it? Did I go, oh, yeah, I suppose, yes, you're right, that is product management, and product management is really a thing. Quite late in the day, you could call me quite naive, if you like, I was never in a position where I thought, do you know what, I want to be a product manager. I just found myself in situations where there have been opportunities and I've followed the things that I like doing, or I've run away from the things that I don't like doing, like cinema management, and then got into an organization where I gradually transitioned towards the things that I enjoyed doing the most. And that just happens to be in the product space, really.
Thank you for sharing that.
We'll be back in a moment.
You were in this business development role. What were some of the differences that you saw from the sales experience that maybe you just come out of, and then from your experience now as a product manager? Help us kind of navigate that.
As I kind of indicated, I was never really great at the sales side of things. My approach is always to talk to people and understand what it is they want to achieve. And actually, in business development, that's really handy because it means that you get the client talking and they tell you all of the things that you need to know in order to seal the deal. They tell you they want feature X, Y, and Z, and it's causing them problems 1, 2, and 3. And it's very simple then to put together the maths to go, well, if we can deliver this for however much bit of work, then the client's going to get this amount of value. Then look, it's worth us doing the work and doing the maths. And so my business development approach was always effectively a product management approach. It was never the kind of the salesy, I need to get this sale because I want to do the next thing. So when I've moved into a pure product role, I've taken the same approach. I go and talk to customers and I find out what their challenges are and what the value is that they hope to get from something changing, and bring that into the business and do the maths. And I do that just by talking to people. There's never any hard sell, apart from when you're in the business and you're trying to convince the CTO to do something or the CEO to not do something. Mm-hmm. It's about just talking to people, understanding, and then convincing. And that's what product managers do, which is why communication is such a massive skill for the product manager community.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I'm curious to know, in your business development role, how did you learn to talk to customers, to get those sorts of insights, and how did you learn to do that research? Did it come naturally to you? Did you have somebody show you the ropes? Sort of, how did you learn to do that?
Yeah, nobody showed me the ropes at all. So I turned up and I asked questions, and it helps that I'm a little bit inquisitive and like to know where there are problems, and I like to try and solve problems. And in order to solve problems, you need more information. So you just ask more questions. And if the person you're talking to doesn't know the answer to the question, you get them to introduce you to the next person who might know the answer. And all of a sudden, you've now built a network of people within inside the organization that you're trying to sell to. and you can have lots of different angles and lots of different perspectives. And yeah, it's just, yeah, asking questions. Nobody's ever taught me. I've never been on a sales course, was never on a business development course, just told, right, you've got a meeting with this large supermarket chain and they want to do some graduate recruitment. Go and find out what they want to do. And yeah, you jump on a train, you turn up in an office and you go, I hear you want to do some graduate recruitment. What is it you want to do? What do you want to achieve? And you just keep asking more and more questions. And eventually you'll get to the little nuggets that are in there that go, right, so your challenge is that actually you will get 5,000 applications within the space of 2 weeks. That's the biggest challenge that you'll have as a graduate recruiter. So how can we make that less painful for you? And you start then asking more and more questions there. And all of a sudden you get down to, right, well, you need to do this. And that's what we do as product managers.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Aaron.
No, I was just saying, yeah, absolutely. The inquisitiveness and the curiosity, that's foundational for sure.
So, Rob, contrast this for me, because right at the beginning, we started off, and I loved how you said this, and I want to provide listeners with just a little bit of contrast here. So contrast what you first said right at the beginning about the business is the boss and the customer is not. To, I talk to customers all the time. Help Dan, like, how is business the boss, and then why are you talking to customers all the time, and how does that influence your role as a product manager?
There is no at odds about it at all. The business is my boss. They're the people who pay my wages. And if I cannot deliver whatever the business needs, then I'm out of a job. End of story. It just happens to be that one area where I can help the business perform really well is by talking to customers a lot. And I will get as much information from as many customers as I can and find different ways that we may be able to add more value to our business. But I think, as every product person will tell you, when you talk to customers, you get way more ideas and bits of feedback than you can possibly deal with. So it's not really at odds, because you could argue that one customer is at odds with another customer. All you get is the end users, your end customers, will give you a whole set of feedback. Your internal customers will give you a whole set of other feedback. And your business masters will give you a whole set of other things. And they all fit in this pot. And your job is to sort through that and try and determine which ones will ultimately give the business the best return on its for its performance. So they're not at odds, because in reality, what the customer does is just feeding into that process. Every bit of feedback you get, you could argue, is at odds with the other ones, because they're all fighting for that resource that you have in your business. We all only have a finite amount of resource to deliver something for the business. Even if you're at Google and Facebook, who seem to have unlimited resources, well, they don't. They still only have so many developers that can deliver a feature into their product, and way more ideas than there is time to deliver those things. So it's all just feeding into that pot, and you just have to, yeah, use your judgment, use some frameworks, use the boss's influence to get the right things done in the way that you think will deliver the best performance for your business.
Yeah, I think that's really well articulated, that you have to take in all of these inputs and all of this information and put it back through and see and help the business try to accomplish its strategy and its outcomes, you know, to better serve your customers, to better serve your business. Yeah, that's really, really well articulated. Yeah, I want to switch gears a little bit now and ask you, you've been in some product leadership positions, You've hired product managers. You've helped some folks land their first product role. I'm curious to know what sort of common mistakes or misconceptions that people without a technology background, what mistakes or misconceptions do they have, and how would you correct those?
I think lots of people coming into product will think, well, I don't have product skills, and that might be they've never written a product roadmap before, or they don't tend to spend their days writing user stories. And they are skills that you can learn. And for me, people joining the product teams that I've run, I've hired them based on their attitude and the softer skills that they have, not the hard skills like writing a user story or creating a roadmap. Because I can teach somebody how to write a user story in an hour. I can guide somebody to work on a roadmap a little bit at a time. But it's much harder for me when I'm heading out a product team to get people to go into a room and ask those questions that we were talking about earlier. Ask the questions and be inquisitive and want to know, well, why do you want to do that? Or what do you hope to get out of this? Or what if it's, what's the impact it's going to be? That's a harder skill for people to learn. And it's also a little bit harder for them to show in interviews and things like that, which I think is why so many people transition into product roles inside the same organization that they already work in. Because the people that they work with understand the value that they're already delivering, even if they're not in a product role, because those people are the people who are coming up with ideas or asking questions or pushing boundaries in certain areas. And they're a little bit harder to identify when you're kind of interviewing people. So, yeah, I think people do get kind of hung up too much on hard product skills. And if you're coming from a technical background, I see many technical people get really hung up on the technical skills that they have. And in reality, yeah, it's good to have a technical background. But as you indicated earlier, kind of people come at product from a whole range of different angles. In my team at the moment, there are only three people in my product team at the moment. It's not very big, but one of them's come from a front-end development perspective, so he brings that. One of them's come from a back-end perspective, and I've come from a business development perspective. So actually, as a team, we cover loads of really good bases, so we can have some really interesting conversations. But yeah, don't get hung up on where those hard skills are from. The important thing is the soft skills that you need in order to understand and get to the bottom of challenges.
Yeah, that's good. And it's also interesting, you know, when you look at job descriptions and they ask for so many years of experience as a product manager, I think somebody without experience and trying to look in would look at that and feel like that's a big barrier. So what sort of things could folks be doing to show that experience, that mindset, that attitude you've talked about in order to land their first product role?
Yeah. Well, the first place to start is as close to home as possible. So wherever you are currently working, you should be looking to find opportunities to demonstrate some product-related skills. Now, if you have a product team already in the business, how close can you get to that product team? How can you help them deliver on their goals? And that has two benefits, because one is, do you know what? Most people transition in the same business. So next time there's a product role that appears inside your business, you'll be front of mind if you're adding value to that team already. And it's very easy then for that team to go, hey, Rob, why don't you just come over and join us? So it has that benefit. But also you then get to say, if there's no opportunities in your current company, well, I'm in an interview, I'm working with the product team in this capacity to deliver this using these skills. And you can use kind of hang on the back of supporting them. Obviously, if there aren't opportunities like that currently, there's no product team in your business, which is still the case in many organizations. Despite the growth of product roles, there are still many organizations that don't have it. Then are there ways that maybe you can kind of start that activity, take responsibility within your current organization for some of this, and effectively give yourself some product responsibility? Some organizations are fine with people taking on more jobs and taking responsibility for things. And they are all things that you can then put in your resume for that next job. Failing that, you can look around, you can find internships. If you've got the kind of the product mindset, maybe it is that you set something up on your own. I mean, you guys are product people in your day jobs, but you've gone off and set up your own little podcast. It's a product, right?
Right.
The process you go through with your podcast is exactly the same as you would go through in your day job. People can do that for themselves. It doesn't have to be related to product. They could be an expert in, I don't know, running, and decide to create a running related product, whether it's a publication or a podcast or a YouTube channel. The steps that you go through to make a success of those things are the same steps that you do in a product role that's official within an organization. And they're all things that you can then talk to a potential employer about.
Yeah, I love how you say that, just having that product mindset and to start to apply that to opportunities and problems that you see, you know, in or out of your job, whatever it may be. And also transitioning back to what you said earlier of transitioning within a company, right, and start doing product-like things. That was actually my own transition. We didn't have product managers, and I started doing, you know, product-like stuff until they kind of made that role official, and then I was able to transition on from there. But yeah, certainly having that product mindset and applying that in and out of your job, that's fantastic. I'd like to give you a couple minutes to tell us a little bit about getting started in product. What motivated you to start that service, that website, that product, if you will, of getting started in product?
Yeah, so when I have been in a position where I've run teams, one of the things that I get the most value from is developing other people. So seeing somebody come in and start to flourish and supporting them and giving them opportunities to progress. And I think as a leader in a team, I think you should be doing that. You should be hiring good people in and getting them to progress and ultimately be better than you are. Because my approach when I have a team of people is I have a team because I don't want to do those jobs. I want other people to do those jobs. So I should kind of empower those people to do those jobs to the best of their ability so that I can then crack on with the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So developing the future plan, hiring more people who can do these things so I can worry less about the day-to-day stuff and more about the next steps. And once you kind of you do that and you get that positive feeling of doing that, I thought, well, do you know what? I've actually been doing this job for a long time, and there are lots of people out there who are starting out who don't really know the basics or maybe don't have the confidence to try and do that first step. So what's to stop me kind of sharing some of my knowledge with them? There's only so many people in my team that I can support, but maybe I can support other people doing it. And I'd done some kind of mentoring with some people before in different areas, not specifically in product, but I enjoyed that. I was like, well, let's just get out and share some more information. So I started writing things, and I started writing posts, and I got a couple of good reactions from it, and that gives you a nice positive feeling going, oh, if something seems to resonate with somebody, maybe I'll do a little bit more. maybe I'll do a little bit more. And yeah, a few years down the line, and here I am. I've got a few thousand people following certain blogs, and get some good feedback on it. And yeah, I can just kind of help them do that. And personally, it also helps me shape my thinking a lot. It gives me an opportunity when I'm writing a post and I pick a subject. It gives me a chance to think, well, what do I think about this thing? Maybe if I write a post, I'll learn something from that, and maybe I will change something that I'm doing in my job because of it. That's kind of how I got into it. And now, yeah, it's a good little sideline, and I like being able to see the reactions from people and the positive responses that they get. And when people tell you, oh yeah, I've now done this thing, and thanks to you, I've now got this new opportunity, and it's great. And that gives you a nice warm buzz. And I'm pretty sure you guys must feel the same when you hear kind of feedback on your podcast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Ash and I have definitely experienced that. If we've started to share more of this podcast out, those positive feelings of helping others and helping that next generation. Yeah, it's definitely fantastic. And I love also how you say when you are going to step into that role of teacher, you're also stepping back into that role of learner, right? Where when you step up and say, I'm going to teach, I'm going to share, but also gives you that opportunity to reevaluate what you think about something and look at those assumptions again and learn something new and reframe your thinking around something. That's wonderful. So if any of our listeners were interested in learning more about getting started in product, where should they go and what should they expect when they get there?
Yeah, so they can head straight to gettingstartedinproduct.com, where you can sign up, and I do a weekly newsletter there where I write a post every week from there and link to various articles on products that have interested me to share that kind of stuff, and a few other bits and pieces and resources. They can see the other kind of things that we do. There's a couple of courses in there that people can sign up about. One of kind of introduction to product management, and there's one around kind of optimizing LinkedIn profiles that they can do. All that sort of that's free. I do offer a kind of product coaching services if people are really down that point in time, but that tends to be for people who are a little bit further down the line. So if people are just started now, yeah, just sign up for the newsletter and have a read and kind of immerse yourself more in the world of product.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. I love how you say immerse yourself in the world of product, because that's what Ash and I did. We just started reading and talking and listening to everything that we could find about product management, and certainly that's how you got to learn it. Robert, thank you so much. Ash and I, we've really enjoyed this conversation, and thanks again for sharing your insights with us and your path into product.
Great. Thanks very much for your time.
We hope you found this episode to be helpful. If you did, please subscribe, tell your friends, and give us a 5-star rating. Have a question or feedback? Click the link in the show notes.